It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this second day of December, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. Dang it. Headphone issues. That is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast as well. And thank you so very kindly for listening to the podcast and for listening to the program and participating in it in whatever manner you so choose, because you are the beating heart of this little community-driven effort, non-commercial, non-capitalist, to create a space in which we discuss the issues of the day and do so without any ads whatsoever. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Friday on the front porch. If you happen to pop by the chat room at this point in time, I'm refreshing right now to make sure that it's absolutely, yep. You'll be greeted by early arriver, Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has nonetheless chosen not to fold space. He's capably assisted by a pinch hit chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, and up in Oregon, chat room moderator and bud trimmer extraordinaire Roger. So Squeaky, you are well moderated this evening. Steve, it's good to see the moderating crew all on hand this evening. Like I said, it is Friday on the front porch. We will gather together and go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves here in about, 55 minutes' time, and see what's on everybody's mind this evening. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, please feel free to use the button at headon.live, and you can jump right in without being, you know, on Skype. You can jump right into the conversation, and we love to hear new voices in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Steve. No brain tonight. Too many cops. Yeah, they got their brain bashers out and just waiting for the little fucker to try. Yeah. So every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we begin with thanks to our second day of the month subscribers. And by the way, thanks for meeting Bruce and Karen's challenge yesterday. That was huge. Helping out in that regard, Lady B. Thank you, Lady B. And thanks as well to Rocco. And thanks to subscriber Elizabeth. Thanks to David in Oregon, formerly of San Diego. Thank you to Chris in Germany for providing a portion of the challenge money yesterday. Thanks to Billable Rick for jumping in with his challenge from last week. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this tottering little effort alive. We all do appreciate it. What does that mean in terms of, well, the ongoing effort to keep this alive? Because of the deficit that we finished in November, we find ourselves with a fundraising deficit of $800. It's actually lower than what it is, but we'll just round it down to $800. And hope that we can maybe scrounge up some sort of a Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle and knock that out this evening and move on toward the first full week of December, beginning on Monday, which will be December the 5th, okay? Okay. So that means, well, let's see what we got today. I missed one yesterday. I missed a story, and I hate it when I neglect to mention a story of earth-shattering import. You may recall that a couple of weeks ago, the news broke that Madison Maddie Cawthorn, the youngster who, for one scant term, represented a really not particularly bright district in North Carolina, had quit the premises, moved out of his space, and was long gone. Well, turns out he was not entirely gone, because exiting members of the House of Representatives get to deliver, I guess you'd call it, a valedictory. And so Madison Maddie Cawthorn, who I suspect will be missed by no one, not even members of his own weirdo caucus in the House, Maddie delivered his closing remarks . And frankly, I could just as easily have saved this for Moran Monday, but I can't count on us having space on any given Moran Monday for something that happened the previous Friday or the previous Thursday. And so in this world in which we find ourselves, in which a nation that never fired a shot in anger at its much larger neighbor, finds itself defending its very existence against that behemoth neighbor, you know, Mother Russia, in which humanitarian crises are blossoming around the world, in which this country is roiled by massive corporate avarice, resulting in terrible inflation. All of these things, well, none of them were the topic of the bye-bye speech of 24-year-old Madison Maddie Cawthorn. No, Maddie is worried about masculinity?
Our young men are taught that weakness is strength, that delicacy is desirable, and that being a intellectual is more valuable than training the mind, body, and soul. Social media has weakened us, siphoning our men of their will to fight, to rise in a noble manner, square their jaws, and charge once more into the breach of life to defend what they love. So on this precipice of disaster, I ask the young men of this nation a question. Will you sit behind a screen while the storied tales of your forefathers become myth? Or will you stand resolute against the dying light of America's golden age? Will you reclaim your masculinity? Will you become a man to be feared, to be respected, to be looked up to? Or will you let this nation's next generation be its final generation?
What, Edith, huh?
Yes, yes, that's Madison Mattie Cawthorn, last seen in cruise ship photos wearing a black lace bra. And you know what, Mattie, you're valid. We see you. And, you know, a lot of trans girls hide behind notions of hypermasculinity. And, well, I don't know of anyone out there trying to get young men to be soft metrosexuals. In point of fact, I can't remember the last time I heard metrosexual used in a cultural context. I mean, wasn't metrosexual a thing back around maybe the, didn't that enter the lexicon somewhere around the second, the second Clinton term and up into the reign of error of dim leader? Yeah. It, sometime along about when we started hearing about manscaping. And what's this about squaring one's jaw? Does that involve a plane? Or some kind of chisel? Or I don't know. But we know that, well, we know that Maddie's worried about it. Somewhere right now, I'll bet you that young hair Kyle Rattenhaus is probably wondering maybe if that district in North Carolina might be a place he wants to move to. Language means something. Will you reclaim your masculinity? Reclaim means that it was abandoned. I'm kind of at a loss. But, yeah. Mattie leaves the Congress concerned about masculinity and metrosexuals. This is a coded special message to Matt in San Francisco. Just do us a favor as the Horns Den Mother and San Francisco correspondent, please, Matt. Could you just sort of keep an eye out to see if you, at some point, maybe in the next couple of years, you see a guy wheeling down, say, Castro, barking about metrosexuality and maybe with a brand new rainbow flag flapping in the breeze as he rolls down the streets of San Francisco. Not saying that I called up Harris in Reno and put a fin on the possibility with a close date of, say, 2024, but I'm also not saying I didn't. There was no way I was going to let that story go by without mention. But also, given the tenor of the conversation in the country lately, and old DJ that I am, I have a penchant. Come on, I have a penchant for oldies but goodies. And we're gonna get after it. And so I was thinking about this particular oldie but goodie when Well, it dawned on me that it would be entirely appropriate. As far as masculinity, Steve in New York says, Steve, my masculinity, I'm plenty masculine. I'm a top, by the way. Lee, thanks for that, Steve. Lee in New York says, masculinity, is Madison worried about lost masculinity because he can't find his? Or maybe he needs someone who has some. Yeah. Might be a bottom. You never know. Really? TMI a bit early in the program, Steve. Masculinity reminds me of the time I fucked a 6'5" bodybuilder. Dude. I'm sorry. Manscaping, says Emilio. What about personscaping? Oh, there's the PC police. They're always out there. Metrosexual, there's a South Park episode for that, Jack says. It aired in October 2003, so maybe that's about the time that, that the term metrosexual was roving about the country. Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, what are you going to do? By the way, Randy Radar, appreciate the thought there. Well taken. Let's see. Oh, okay. Goldie but a goodie. Yeah. You'll know why this. I mean, the song in particular is about fat, dead, flush Flimball, who, of course, has been on the Pineapple Express in hell since his... That would be Presidential Medal of Freedom winning Flush Flimball. Yeah, he's been on the Pineapple Express in hell since, well, whenever it was that he finally went to his long home. But this seems to be kind of, frankly, evergreen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh!
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap. I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending cries, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, tuts.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey.
With the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat mom. Is big and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Terry Bob! Manipulating statements exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It inspires. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi! I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball.
How?
With the face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts.
So nuts.
I am a cyst on the ass of humanity.
Ew.
New Republican slogan, read my tux.
Read his tux.
Limbaugh.
In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob.
Evil, rotten.
I'm the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-at-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trashing, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a fig, I'm a fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi, I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Hi, you're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey, Republican sleazeball.
Fear-mongering scumbag.
Oh.
Egotistical ass bite.
Yes.
Mean-spirited, hog-wallering fat conservative tots.
With a face.
You know, that is, it's evergreen. It never gets old. But here's the funny thing about it. It was uploaded, according to the YouTube description, it was uploaded 10 years ago. So 2012, I don't know if it goes back further than that. But the funny thing is, there's so much of that, if you paid attention to the lyrics, that could just be, I mean, all of those things, and that's Rush's actual words strung together and creatively edited, except for the chorus part. Those are just descriptions of the modern maggot Republican Party. Aren't they? Sure sounds like it to me. Dave number 11, figs around the world are still offended by the comparison. Yeah, very likely. One year ago, somebody commented on the YouTube video, 8 years later in this age, like fine wine. And the thing is, by comparison, he was a piker. The new crop have really gone pro. Can you imagine, given what the debate that has roiled the country, debate, please, the news that has roiled this country and abroad for the last few days over the definite article? Can you imagine what Rush Limbaugh would be saying now? My friends, that poor black man is being, well, he's being subjected to a high-tech lynching, just like Clarence Thomas was. And by the way, thank you to our Horn Ad Hoc Math Department. Lee in New York noting, doing the math for you, 653 days of pineapple collection. For Fat Dad Rush Limbaugh. Thank you for that, Lee. 653 days. Matt in San Francisco noting, Rush is the best kind of Nazi. Dead. Meanwhile, eyes peeled for Madison's wheels. That rhymed. Well done, Matt. Eyes peeled for Madison's wheels. Yay. I'm sorry, I had to start the program with those two things, that clip and that song. Because, well, there's a reason. You know, I don't just do things. President Biden responded to all the right-wing Nazi talk with a tweet. I just want to make a few things clear. The Holocaust happened. Hitler was a demonic figure, and instead of giving it a platform, our political leaders should be calling out and rejecting anti-Semitism wherever it hides. Silence is complicity. That's going to sting a little bit. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said, when we see this type of hatred and we see this type of anti-Semitism, we need to call it out. We need to be very, very clear and condemn it. And that's what you're going to continue to hear from the president. Meanwhile, Napoleon Bonaparte has found himself in a bit of a pickle. You might recall, Napoleon is what he calls a free speech absolutist. And then, I guess, The Definite Article decided to test that, tweeting out support for Balenciaga, which has a kitty problem, to say the very least. Desperately trying to scrounge up a contract somewhere. The Definite Article is. And then he tweeted a picture of the Star of David superimposed with a Hakenkreuz, a swastika. And suddenly the free speech absolutist realized that Apple wasn't the only advertiser he was about to lose on that toxic platform. Yeah. And he went and did the heretofore unthinkable and kicked The Definite Article off of Twitter. There went that free speech absolutism. Stephen New York says, I'm pissed at President Joe for selling the rail workers up the river. Not particularly thrilled about it by myself. But he did say we are going to work on paid leave for every worker in this country. And I take him at his word. I do. Maybe that makes me simple. But what President Biden said about everyone should call it out, well, at least one Republican did call it out. I mean, he did. Kinda. I guess you could say. Yeah, the Moscow Mitch McConnell, the minority leader of the United States Senate, who will continue to be minority leader of the United States Senate in the next term. I like that. I like saying that. He declared in front of a microphone and cameras rolling and everything, well, there's no room in the Republican Party for white supremacy. Yeah, I saw that and I immediately ran off to the interweb tubes to find that picture of Moscow Mitch himself standing in front of the Confederate battle flag, grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush as he accepted a Confederate award from some dude who was a member of some Confederate organization. I have no doubt that I was not the only person so to do. I feel entirely comfortable in thinking that picture of Moscow Mitch is probably, well, it was probably tweeted yesterday and put on social media generally millions of times when Addison McConnell, the god-awfulest thing ever to creep, crawl, slither, or slime out of Colbert County, Alabama,
declared, there's no room in the Republican Party for white supremacy.
I got to tell you, when I saw the clip of him saying that, I lolled. I did. I just lolled and lolled and lolled. Because that's such a patently ridiculous lie. The Republican Party would not exist in the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God, amen, without white supremacy, without Klansmen, without Nazis, without white nationalists, without Christian nationalists. I mean, if there's no room in the Republican Party for white supremacy, it seems like that would engender a necessity for a bit of a conversation with the likes of, oh, marginal trailer queen, and Jewish space lasers lady, and opponent of the gazpacho police. Yeah. Darlene, that's what he said. For every worker, including gig workers and independent contractors like me, prob's not. He said paid sick leave for every American. Or every American worker. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But given what President Biden said about anti-Semitism, white supremacy should be denounced by, you know, everybody. That's going to be a bit of a challenge. That I like that too. Steve in New York pointing out no room for white supremacy in the Republican Party. I like Malloy's take. Of course, there's no room for white supremacy in the Republican Party. It's all filled up already with white supremacists. Dave number 11 pointing that out too. There's no room because they're already full. But not everybody. Not everybody is going to be doing all that denouncing. In particular, someone not denouncing will be the governor of Florida, white supremacist Florida governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who only became governor of Florida in his first term with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis. Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, according to Dan Eberhardt, who is identified as a longtime GOP donor and former big Trump donor, he had a conversation with Team DeSantis.
In ongoing discussions following his re-election to governor of Florida, including this week, I've been asked to keep my powder dry.
In terms of talking about Nitwit Nero and his dinner with The Definite Article and Mexican white supremacist Nick Fuentes. Now, I don't point out the fact that he's a Mexican white supremacist as any sort of a slur. No, not at all. Just the fact that white supremacists generally don't like people who are Mexican. Nazis don't like Mexicans. I mean, after all, that's where Trotsky went to live until he was assassinated. Eberhardt continued, my understanding is that the DeSantis team doesn't see an upside in kicking off the fight with Trump this early, even if it may be inevitable. Wading into the Fuentes fiasco just isn't worth it for them. The media will harpoon Trump without Team DeSantis lifting a finger. Well, profiles in courage, y'all. Monkey Up doesn't want to take on the Big Orange because he's skilled. Yes, little Monkey Up is skilled and thinks somebody else will do his work for him. Yeah, that's the thing about moral imperatives. You have to actually participate in the moral statement in order to stand on the moral high ground when you get there. And it gets worse. The article that I'm drawing from here, from Rolling Stone, points out that some others have begun taking shots at Nitwit Nero for sitting down with a pair of Nazis, the definite article in Nick Fuentes. Rolling Stone describes the definite article as being deep in the anti-Semitism spewing phase of his career, saying the dinner quickly turned into one of the first major self-inflicted crises of Trump's latest presidential campaign, and it's already caused Team Trump to change its security and vetting procedures. During and after the dinner, some of the former president's closest advisors were so in the dark about what Trump was doing that some resorted to simply asking reporters what they'd heard. One prominent Trump advisor wrote to other Trump associates, according to a message that Rolling Stone got hold of, did he really have dinner with the Nazi? Yeah, he did. But, you know, Mike Pompeo graduated first in his class at West Point. Golly, it's still a knee slapper. You heard me there. That's me slapping my knee. Has called out the meeting. Krispy Kreme has called out the meeting. Asa Hutchinson, soon to be replaced as governor of Arkansas by Jethreen Bodine, Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags, daughter of former presidential candidate, former Arkansas governor, and, oh, by the way, diabetes cure snake oil salesman Mike Huckstaby. Hutchinson called out the meeting. Senator David Cassidy called out the meeting. In the clip from Moscow Mitch, he said, "And I don't see how anybody who dallies with white supremacists can ever hope to be president of the United States of America ever again." Mm-hmm. Well, then there's this. A pair of people identified as pro-Israel conservative Jewish mega donors who generously backed Trump in 2016 and 2020 say that they've had various conversations with other... This is a little bit problematic language. Just saying. Rolling Stone, editing staff, maybe give this a second look. But they say they have had various conversations with others in their elite circles about permanently ditching Trump or putting out joint statements vigorously denouncing his associations with these anti-Semites and a fascist internet troll. Which one's the fascist internet troll? Is that the definite article or the Mexican white supremacist? Little help here? I think we can ditch the article, the indefinite article A and add S to trolls because, well, you get the idea. I'm a grammar goon. But it turns out those two mega donors both decided against saying a word. And maybe it'd be nice to find out who they were, because maybe the Anti-Defamation League would like to have a little chit-chat with them about, you know, the historical place that's reserved for Jews who collaborate with Nazis. But the two Jewish mega donors are said to be water-barreled scared of Nitwit Nero, because they think that Julius Geezer has a really solid chance of being the GOP nominee in 2024, and they may not be wrong. Because the two mega donors already know that among those supporters of Geezer Disgustus who have dared to speak out against his association with Nazis, that he's been keeping track of just who's doing exactly what. It turns out he's taking names. Former Israel ambassador and bankruptcy attorney David Friedman made a half-hearted attempt to back away from Nitwit Nero, or maybe condemn, say, the dinner with the Nazis, at which point the Clementine Caligula had a meltdown, erupted in petulant fury and adipose grievance, barking and hooting and grunting to the advisors who were around him that they're being disloyal. They're being disloyal. After all I've done for them, after all I've done for Israel. One unnamed source says he saw it as a stab in the back. Former President Trump believes he gave David everything, meaning David Friedman, and that this is a classless way to repay him. Well, you know, that slogan that attaches to the Holocaust, which, of course, the definite article in Nick Fuentes think didn't happen, and, well, for all we... Hey, remember in the divorce papers with... in his divorce from Ivana, remember how she testified that he kept what was called, referred to in news accounts as a book of Hitler's speeches on the nightstand by his bed? Stab in the back. You know, that's also historically been used as an anti-Semitic trope. So don't, even though we got some weak tea from Moscow Mitch and some a pathetic condemnation from Kevers McCarthy, the man of silly putty, don't think for a second that there's going to be a stampede to get to the microphone by the rest of the Republican caucus, because they're still scared shitless of Marcus Aurelius. Oh, yes, they are. And they never stop running for re-election. By the way, and it probably won't amount to anything, but I do find it interesting that as a function of the law of the state of Colorado, since it was within a half of a percentage point, the margin of victory of Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, a mandatory recount has been triggered. Miracles happen, but probably nothing to hang your hat on in this case. And so Nitwit Nero, trying to talk his way out of the dinner he agreed to have with a couple of Nazis. And, so I help a seriously troubled man who just happens to be black, the Kanye West, who's been decimated in his business and virtually everything else, and who has always been good to me by allowing his request for a meeting at Mar-a-Lago alone so that I can give him very much needed advice. He shows up with three people, two of which I didn't know, the other a political person who I haven't seen in years. I told him don't run for office. Total waste of time. Can't win. 'Cause I'm running. Like Malloy said, there's no room for white supremacists because it's all the Republican Party is already full of white supremacists. And you know, I hope we have the nerve to run on that. But the courage and the determination and the dedication. I mean, if only there was a messaging operation inside the state of Florida pointing out that Monkey Up has decided not to attack the big guy because he's scared fit to shit himself, that Nitwit Nero will come after him. Oh, well, so much for being the man created on the eighth day to fight for Florida. Well, not the Jews in Florida, apparently. Other parts of Florida, sure. Oh, Dave number 11 says, speaking of grammar goons, no one ever told me about compliment and compliment. One being C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T and C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. I had to learn about it in a sports column today. Well, see, Dave, that's the beautiful thing about being a lifelong learner. I can't go on, says Dave. Farewell, horn community. My shame has crushed me. So long. Hey, is that a cookie? Okay, I'm back in. Give me the cookie. Welcome to the dark side, Dave. We have cookies. Yes. And speaking of people with moral courage, it was back on October 6th when, anticipating their red wave, the House Judiciary Committee Republican minority tweeted. Isn't that part of Rockin' Robin? Tweet, tweet, tweedly deedly deed. Never mind. No, they put out a tweet on October 6th because they are, so, you know, and the leader of the Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee is, of course, Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And he, of course, then probably controls that Twitter account. But on October 6th, they tweeted in support of freedom of speech. And it was a simple tweet. Kanye, period. Elon, period. Trump, period. That was it. That was the whole tweet. And then, lo and behold, yesterday, somebody decided it might be a good idea to go and delete that tweet. It was 8.05 p.m. on the 6th day of October when the House Judiciary GOP tweeted Kanye, Elon, Trump. And then the day after that, the definite article, I know you're sick of hearing about him, right? Well, we talk about these matters of fascism in the United States because silence is compliance, complicity. And I will never have that said of me or us here. The day after they tweeted Kanye, Elon, Trump. Well, that was the day that the definite article declared that he was going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews. And the tweet stayed up. That was not too much. But as of yesterday, after the, yesterday's podcast covers it in its entirety. Maybe Kevers McCarthy got hold of Jim Jacket off Jordan and said, get rid of that tweet. Reporters are asking me about that tweet. It needs to go away. And put your jacket on, jacket off. Funny how long it took, huh? Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Ralph. Donnie trying to get rid of some competition. Precisely. Hey, there's a challenge on the table that would go a long way toward it would get us started on the $800 we need to raise for a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Steve in New York and I remain inveterate diehard college football fans, and, well, the Ohio State University will not be playing for the Big Ten Championship. And so, consequently, there's a Purdue versus that team up north challenge of $10. I'd like to offer a Purdue castrate Jim Harbaugh and beat TTUN in the Big Ten Championship challenge. Steve's disdain for that team up north knows no bounds. So if you would like to respond as a member of the Purdue faithful, you're welcome to answer that $10. Or maybe you're a Buckeye fan like Steve and you'd like to. Or maybe you'd like to repudiate it if you're a Michigan fan. And that would get us down to... $780 to go in fundraising to get us up to the point where maybe we can push back against the lupine pest that continues to loll about the front porch of the Horn. Got a note from Scary Jerry, missing Rush Limbaugh. I'm sitting at the base of the highway and the sun fading in the distance, and for our Jewish and other friends, Shabbat Shalom. That sign is art. The building is abandoned. If zombies poured out of anywhere, it'd be here. I was having a total cyberpunk, pre-dystopic, pre-handmade, pre-Cat 6 fascist hurricane. I miss Rush Limbaugh. I don't miss old Rush Bowl exactly. I miss post-peak Rush, Obama Rush, the people that I loved and who were healthy and who were alive, really, pre-COVID, pre-Trump. This is poignant. I miss when Nazis didn't drive around in trucks with Trump flags. I miss when swarms of ATVs, dirt bikes, mini bikes, and riders were just fun-loving and slightly reckless instead of menacing and pre-apocalyptic. I miss my pop stars having drug problems instead of Nazi problems. I saw $6 eggs today. They say the Drumpfs of old Germany came to power during a time of rising inflation. No context whatsoever. The sign to which Scary Jerry refers, a red square displayed point up, white lettering, all copper has been removed from this building. That's why Scary Jerry says the sign is art. The building is abandoned. If zombies poured out of anywhere, it'd be here. No trespassing. Site under 24-hour security. Yeah. All copper in this building has been removed. Because meth heads are drawn to copper. I think it's more about the money than, yeah. Thank you for that, Scary Jerry. That was that piece of prose was in fact art. Okay, we've got a limitation now on the TTUN Purdue challenge. Steve in New York says, if a TTUN fan wants to donate, that team up north, their donation must be $20 for me to meet the $10 challenge. Oh, you're rewriting the rules in mid-challenge. What are you doing? But Ralph's jumped in. And being a Wisconsinian, I'm not sure which way Ralph's is rooting, but your challenge got met, Steve, and there was nothing about TTUN in there. And I think there's no love lost between TTUN and the Badgers either. Randy Radar noting, Dave, if you don't accept the cookie, you can't continue to listen to the program. Don't say that. Oh, and I had a note from our anonymous friend who has gone so far to help out, you know, mentioning last night that they had kicked into the tune of $750 last month. Our anonymous friend said, I support this program because this program saves lives. That's not an exaggeration. That has actually happened here. And we have we know the reality of it. So thanks for noting that. We are up at the top of the hour. And that means it's time to what's this, Brother Deacon Asa? I'm not buying it, going all the way back to the Maddie Cawthorn story. Oh, Asa. I'm not buying it. Madison Cawthorn doesn't exactly come across as a stand-up kind of guy. I know. Murder hornets galore. Yes, and you will be filleting them in hell, Brother Deacon. For shame, for shame, for shame. But it is. It's time to go over the river and through the woods into the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and see what's going on in our Friday on the Front Porch extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation. Okay, I guess we'll bring it in on that channel then. I tried to bring it in on the on the iPad so that we can play clips when we run across them, but for some reason or another, it didn't ring through on the iPad. Oh, well. With the challenge met, we've got $780 to go to get caught up with November and the first 2 days of December. And hopefully that'll happen in fairly short order. Let's get the button right. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Good news, it rained yesterday, and it's going to rain tomorrow. And I might get a well dug.
That would be fantastic.
There's a drilling outfit that was down in the across the way in the, on another street. So I went over there, not yesterday, but the day before that, wrote down my name. I called the company first. All I got was an answering machine. So I called. I wrote down my name, my address, phone number, information. I told the guys that they were working on the rig for some reason. But I got out of the car, and I start walking over towards the guy. Says, well, just put the note on the seat of the truck. So I look down, and I'm standing in the drilling muck that comes off
beautiful.
The drilling rig. It looked like baby shit all over my shoes.
Well, there went dinner in the late dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone and early dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone. Well done.
Yeah, so I came home, took my shoes off, and then I had to hose them off. Put them on, up on the fireplace hearth, and they dried out rather quickly. It's been cold here.
What qualifies as cold?
Freezing, 32 degrees this morning.
Yeah, overnight we got down into the upper 20s. That is brisk.
Well, you're more used to it than I am.
I never get used to it. Don't kid me.
Okay.
It was warm under the covers, and I did not want to get out from underneath them.
I did something yesterday and discovered that the king-size bed that I sleep in now, my wife had bought a warming pad for it, and I didn't know where it was, but I found it the other day. I tore the whole bed apart yesterday, put that warming pad on there, and slept last night with it on. Boy, that sure makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, do you have any idea what the well's gonna run you?
No clue. So they come over and talk to me. Well, I just figure it this way: they're in the neighborhood. Why do they want to move that drilling rig somewhere else when they just can come over here?
Yeah, it might have to do with promises they've made to do other work. But how long does it take to? I've never drilled a well. How long does it take?
Depends on the drill rig. If they don't have any problems, it's because that seems like theirs is breaking down or something. They were working on it the other day, and then they didn't drill at all yesterday because of the rain. So they were back there today, and then I heard a banging and clanging on it again. They weren't drilling. So 3 days, maybe.
Weather depending, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned baby poop, and Randy Radar said, I consider babies to be walking, talking biohazards. Sorry. Well, they tend to be less a biohazard before they get to the talking phase. That's all I can tell you, Randy. So, go ahead.
I posted a news article in the chat.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
Prosecutor, the evidence shows Trump knew about the taxes. tax fraud in New York.
Yeah, yesterday in closing arguments, prosecution said directly to the jury, Trump knew exactly what was going on. That was Assistant Manhattan District Attorney Joshua Steinglass. And then Steinglass went over a multitude of trial evidence and testimony and said at the close, Mr. Trump is explicitly sanctioning tax fraud.
So now explain that.
Well, the fact is he signed off on the vast majority, if not the entirety, of everything that happened. And they established that at trial.
So that's what sanctioning.
Yeah. He gave the, well, you've seen the photos. He gave the big thumbs up.
Yeah, so Cohen is right. Cohen has been saying, oh, he knew about it all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
No check or anything goes out of that company if he didn't look at it.
They went on to note that Trump wasn't on trial, but the judge, Juan Manuel Merchan, told Steinglass he could talk about what Trump knew or didn't know. Because in their portion of the summation, lawyers for the Trump Organization said, oh, he didn't know anything. He never even heard of the Trump Organization. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe this gives food for thought to that otherwise useless Manhattan district attorney. Remains to be seen.
Another story I read, Senator Schatz.
Yeah, Hawaii.
The seven senators urging Biden to commute Leonard Pelletier's sentence.
Yeah, it's long overdue, and I have heard from a couple of sources that Leonard Pelletier, at this point in time, it would just be an act of mercy because he's not well.
On death's doorstep.
Yeah.
The article I read said.
And by the way, Billable Rick says, thanks, Sparky. I just gagged on my turkey sandwich. So, you scored with that shot. And thanks to George in Coarse Gold. Thank you, George. That gets us down. And thank you, Emilio. That gets us down. We're down to 7:45 to go to come up even. George asked a question. Any comments on the report that Putin fell downstairs in his home and landed on his tailbone and soiled himself? I saw that story. It's probably propaganda. It came from an anti-Putin Telegram channel, which I'm surprised is allowed to exist, given that Telegram is a Russian-owned app or platform. But, yeah, the report is that he's in such ill health that he slipped on the stairs, which had previously been said to be absolutely safe for him, and hit his coccyx, and that caused him to soil himself. It would be nice if it was true. And the New York Post is not exactly a reliable source either. I mean, that's another Rupert Murdoch joint. But if, you know, and they publish photos, for instance, of him gripping the table and draw circles around his feet to say that he's eaten. And I think this latest, and that Telegram channel is apparent, claims to be staffed by someone from Trump's security team, or Trump's, I'm sorry, Putin's. They're interchangeable. Putin's security team, who says that he's absolutely eaten up with the cancer. Now, I was being a bit facetious. No, Trump's lawyers didn't. The lawyers for the Trump organization didn't say that Trump had never heard of the. But that's just. You know.
And he showed up. I was going to help counsel this troubled young Negro man. And he showed up with two guys I've never heard of. Never heard of them.
That's the standard operating procedure. And John in Central PA, who every now and then, well, sends me a tweet of some awful thing over in maggot circles with the title Card-Carrying Republican Alert. I joke about card-carrying Republican alerts over on Twitter, but for years now I've been directly comparing the GOP to the Nazis on a regular basis. Same, same, but only because they are. This is not hyperbole. This is just a reflection of reality. But going back to the Trump Organization trial, District Attorney Alvin Bragg inherited the case and keeps claiming that the investigation of Trump is active and ongoing, even though the two lead prosecutors who were brought in specifically to prosecute the case bailed out and said that he was too much of a chicken shit to do anything. Hey, y'all, I'm going to have to be away from the mic for a second. I've been called into the house. I need to check on whatever it is that they need me for. I'll be back. You guys talk amongst yourselves, please. Pretty please.
I will try. Christopher, are you there?
Yeah, Sparky, how are you?
I'm good. Did you get any snow up there or rain?
No, you know, it's been... I mean, we've had a bit of rain on and off, but relatively speaking, it's been pretty nice. I mean, it's getting colder, but not that cold. You know, Oregon cold, right?
What's Oregon cold?
Go ahead, Roger.
But Timberline Lodge has got like 6 feet of snow at the lodge.
Oh, they're getting hit.
Yeah, so, you know, it ought to be real pretty if it clears up enough. Here in Eugene, it would be clear enough to see. Well, it was earlier. The sun was out. Now it's not. We had a little dusting of snow yesterday afternoon, but it melted off real quick.
Yeah, I just got back from taking Inga for a walk, so. And it's nice. It's pleasant.
I could see Mount Shasta when I went to town today. Yeah, it looks like it's got a lot of snow on it. And the gas prices are finally coming down.
Yeah, it's about time.
We're still in the 460 area. I was out and about a little earlier today and driving by and seeing gas stations and 462, 465.
Well, I saw the gas station I usually go to was 419 when I drove by, and then the cheap gas station in the cheapest town was at 389 today.
Roger, you get yours at Costco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I get mine, too.
But we normally drive the wife's Chevy Bolt, and I haven't filled up my gas pickup in probably a month. Just don't drive it that much.
Yeah, the joys of owning a hybrid, right?
No, it's not a hybrid. It's 100% electric.
Oh, I thought it was a hybrid. Oh, okay.
No.
Even better.
Yeah. As long as the solar keeps kicking out, life's good.
So, Sparky, what do you think about the train strike?
Well, isn't it going to settle now? Biden just signed the law.
Sounds like things went a bit quiet. I had to go away for a second, but all is good here at the... at what? Stand by. No, I'm still here. I had to leave the studio for a minute. And told Sparky I'd be back in fairly short order, and I don't know, it appears like Sparky maybe, disconnected the call? Trying to find out. Okay, that's weird. We're going to reconnect then. Sorry about the dead air. No, Darlene, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I had to step out of the studio, and when I came back, the old holler tree was. I was disconnected from the old holler tree. Not on your end, yeah. So I'm waiting to see if we're going to reconnect. I don't think the stream burped. I'm not seeing anything coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Let's see here. Anybody there?
Yeah.
Okay. That was weird.
We were just trying something, and then I saw you join.
Yeah, it was strange. I got called out of the studio for a couple of minutes, and I came back and nothing.
Yeah, Robin, this is Jack. I was listening to the regular stream just before I came in here, and it just stopped. It was like everybody stopped talking, except it went on for a while.
How odd.
What happened to you?
Well, hopefully we can.
It says you're here, but you're not.
That's strange. I mean, I'm hearing you, so.
You're here now.
Yeah. And I'm coming.
Hey,
I'm connected via the iPad now, and so. I don't know. I got nothing.
So you're good to go.
Oh yeah, we're fine. We've been streaming the whole time.
So the stream and the podcast is still getting recorded.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, well, my thought was that Biden ought to come back because he said he wanted to do sick leave for all Americans. Come up with all union employees get a 7-day paid sick day. Unless it's exceeded in their contracts. And just watch how many Starbucks employees and blah, blah, blah would immediately run to join a union, which would revive the union movement in this country. And then down the road someplace, bounce those sick days up to 10 for union employees, or at least propose it. And 10 for union employees and 5 for non-union employees. And instead of always playing catch up against the Republicans, come out with some heavy duty proposed legislation, because the Republicans are trying to advertise now they're the party of the working people. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're the party of the working people, here's an opportunity to vote for the working people. And then jam the Republicans' ass back up against the goddamn wall.
And Joe Manchin.
They don't consider union members working people.
Well, like I said, and Joe Manchin's, but I can't tell if this was done on an administrative basis via the executive branch, and even if it was done on a legislative basis by the Congress, having a different number of days for union versus non-union, somebody would immediately sue on equal protection grounds.
Yeah.
And the other thing though, and it would, Roger, I think it might help grow union membership, but the other part of it is that it doesn't address something that Darlene brought up. And this is a huge problem for a huge chunk of working people in this country, the gig economy. You know, the so-called self-employed, so-called independent contract. You know, and when I say so-called, it's not like I'm trying to demean the work. I'm not. It's the fact that people aren't as self-employed as the employment class likes to claim they are. And so ultimately, the remedy seems to me to be to set up a federal structure that guarantees paid leave of 7 days. I'm just pulling an arbitrary number. 7 days for everybody in this country who works. And, you know, of course, if that included that would be subsidized by the federal government, then you might find corporate America more willing to sign on to it, even for gig workers. But it might have more of a fighting chance.
You think the Supreme Court would just go ahead and shoot it down, even if we were able to get it passed and signed into law?
Well, and therein lies the rub, Christopher, because this is a court, and I know that we're moving into some arcana that, you know, Billable Rick and Steve and Darlene know about, but this is a court that wants to take this entire country 100+ years back in time to the Lochner era. And for those who don't know, Lochner versus New York, the state of New York, the working conditions for bakers were horrific. And the state of New York moved to make somewhat more humane working conditions by a regulation for bakery workers. And of course, the bakeries, capital, all sued. And there's Steve in New York. Gig economy? Doesn't this sound like a backdoor Lochner? Told you. The bakers sued, and the Supreme Court ultimately said, you cannot interfere with the relationship between workers and their employer because of some sacred bullshit that they came up with called privity of contract. Privity of contract in 1900 was the philosophical or functional equivalent of constitutional originalism now. complete and utter meaningless bullshit entirely constructed to create a rattle-trap platform upon which conservatism might build up, you know, might build a structure of complete abuse. So maybe I'm just overly cynical, but I wouldn't trust our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties of the Supreme Court with the carcass of a run over skunk.
But because contracts today don't they have to be consistent with whatever the law is?
Yeah, you cannot contract to do an illegal thing.
I mean, I don't mean like a crime, but I mean like, again, let's say they set some, well, like minimum wage or hours, you know, to.
Well, it depends on the nature of what you're talking about, Jack, because a lot of these things are controlled by those 50 petty kingdoms, otherwise known as the states.
Yeah.
You know, a worker where you are in Louisiana has manifestly less rights than, say, a worker in Minnesota, perhaps, or California. You know, this is a country divided 50 ways into bad luck, worse luck, and occasionally good luck. I mean,
charter mongering.
Whether it's issues of ethnicity, gender, sexuality, all of those things change from state to state. And the only way to try to fix that is to federalize it. But stuff like wage and hour is largely controlled state to state, because almost every state has a secretary or a commissioner or some such of labor. And by the way, Stephen, New York said Sparky's 1,000,000% right. Going back to the. And I've got some thank yous to send out. Thank you to John in central Pennsylvania. John jumped in and took us down to 725. And then Bernadette got us down under $700. So we're down to 695. Thank you, John, and thank you, Bernadette, so much. I cannot say how important it is that we get caught up and stay that way. Thank you. And I got a note coming in from Lady B. Kanye is a tree in a forest. He doesn't own Twitter. He's not a governor. He's not in the House of Representatives. He's not a senator. He's not a former president, for fuck's sake. My point is, we're missing the forest for the trees, and I shouldn't want to cape for Kanye, but I can't help but get the feeling that everybody is ignoring that he isn't a politician. But Lady B, he says he is. He's going to run for president in 24. He doesn't have an entire militia. He didn't overtake the Capitol nor speak at the rally. Yes, he has millions of fans, but did he rule against railroad workers getting sick leave? Is he a House rep like Marginal Trailer Queen? An ant in the sugar bowl is noticeable. And again, I get it. Kanye has a lot of fans, but my God, it's been 4 days in a row, Robin. And this isn't a dig against you. It's a dig against the media. Everybody is absolutely horrified about Kanye hating Jews, thinking that he is tearing apart the very fabric of this country. But you just mentioned senators and representatives, and hell, the guy who owns Twitter, you know, the one who allows white nationalists to air their views on his platform. But all the media can do is focus on Kanye fucking West having one of his many manic episodes. But dig this, he did it on a white nationalist's show. This is why we're broken. And until people stop playing these bullshit games and pretending to be outraged about a clown that nobody really takes seriously, we will never heal. The outrage is so over the top as to have me suspicious. There are hundreds of anti-Jewish white nationalists with money and power walking around making laws to suppress the minority vote in the country. Time out. Sneezing. Suppressing the vote leads to more Republicans winning office. That fucks us all over, black, white, gay, trans, and female. Point the finger at the folks trying to dismantle this democracy. They're being ignored because we're focusing on the crazy black guy. Jesus, imagine if Kanye's platform was reparations. We wouldn't hear a goddamn peep from anybody. Are you kidding me? The aggrieved white screeching could be heard on at Elon Musk's beach house on Mars if he's talking about reparations. I mean, I get your point. He's just one asshole.
But, you know, the whole Trump and GOP is all marketing, no substance. And Kanye is marketing. I mean, you know, he makes
the nature of the, yeah, you're right, Jack, and the nature of modern so-called journalism is whatever puts eyeballs on screens, whatever gets the click. I was thinking the other day about how far back I have to go personally in my own life to remember a pre-click journalism. Do that little thought experiment. You're probably going to find yourself thinking about, unless you're like a programmer or a, you know, computer engineer who was present on the early internet, you know, forums and message boards, you're probably somewhere around 1995. That's the last time we had journalism that wasn't focused on getting people to click on something on a computer screen. And hence the word clickbait. I'm not in disagreement with Lady B. And I think this evening, the reference to the definite article has a lot more to do with the response. You know, the fact that you've got a couple of Jewish mega donors who are keeping their powder dry and they're not going to say anything to draw nitwit Nero's ire, because they're more concerned about their personal status than they are about the rise of fucking Nazism in this country. And Kanye is a symptom, not the disease. The disease is the people who engaged in a terrorist attack on the United States of America on January 6, 2021... who were probably 99.99999, you know, ivory soap percent white. Mm-hmm. And then Kanye comes along, and he is such an outlier that people, that it can't, and you know, I saw a meme earlier today that said the most hilarious thing in the world right now would be for George W. Bush to tweet that Kanye West doesn't like black people. Or doesn't like Jewish people. Because if you recall, when shortly after ending the reign of error, when Dim Leader published his memoir, he said his saddest moment. Now, this is a president who presided over 9/11, a bullshit war against Afghanistan, starting a bullshit war against Iraq, Katrina, when he played a guitar upside down at a birthday party in Arizona. And in his memoir, he said the saddest day of his presidency was when Kanye West said George W. Bush don't like black people. I guess that's how far we've come.
I thought his saddest moment was when he was reading... My pet upside down to the little children.
Yeah, he's got an upside down problem. The guitar was upside down during Katrina too. Yeah. But in reality, I've been, and others have as well. My dear friend Tara Devlin, Tara Buster, and of course Malloy. You know, Malloy's been hollering about Nazis in America since 1987, and he's not been wrong about it, because they've been seething and boiling out there all this time. And if you bring, you know, it, if you brought it up to the mainstream media back then, or if you said the F word, you know, fascist, well, you know, you were just being over the top. And that's what all that silence today, right now, here, is what all of that mainstream media silence bought. And that's how we got to where we are. And I've been hollering about Nick Fuentes a hell of a lot longer than I've been hollering about Kanye West.
And Richard Spencer.
And you know, I can't remember how many times we've had my friend Dave Nyward on the program. It's been a while. Probably need to get him back on here. But at one point in time, he was the single best commentator on right-wing eliminationist extremism in this country. And in fact, he wrote a book some years back called The Eliminationists. I guess there are a lot of people in this country, especially with the way this issue is playing out right now. And again, I don't disagree with Lady B. I think maybe the definite article is, as bizarre as it may seem, the wake-up call that we've needed. But the fact that all of a sudden everybody is aware, because he got all blatant about it. Oh, look, the black guy is a Nazi. And that's troubling. Wait, that's what it took to wake you up? The Nazis murdered Heather Heyer in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. And over the last 5 years, I've been, you know, y'all, we got a Nazi problem. Y'all, they're going to do it again. To the point that, you know, I don't know, maybe it's why the audience fell off a little bit.
Do you think you had, like, more insight into it because it's that, you know, white, you were more, you had more background on that religion, the nutty evangelicals?
Yeah, and history.
Well, yeah, yes.
I mean, fascists behave according to a pretty predictable playbook.
Uh-huh.
And so they will, you know, they'll say, you know, they will use the rules of open society to take power and then close down society.
Uh-huh.
Each and every time.
Well, the other thing to look at is the number of mass shootings in the United States, and who are the perpetrators? It's not a black guy going into a white supermarket. It's not a black football player going onto a school campus. It's white Christian national fascism.
That's true. That's true, Roger. But it's interesting that you cite those two examples, because in both of the most recent mass shootings in Virginia, it was a black guy. And so we ask ourselves, wonder why that happened. And again, I'm correct. I don't want to say I'm right. I'm correct insofar as in each of these instances, the guy in Chesapeake, Virginia, that guy's got incel written all over him. And as I've said time and time and time again, the incel ideology is easily co-opted into other right-wing ideologies. So you can be an incel, and the next thing you know, you're an incel Nazi.
I'm thinking about the cop that drove across country for the 14-year-old girl and murdered her parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
And wasn't the kid that offed three or four football players in, I think it was Virginia, that had been on a field trip?
Yeah.
And on the way back, wasn't he a white boy?
No.
Well, I thought he was a white boy that got cut from the football team and off the black dudes.
No.
Okay, my error.
Yeah. And apparently he felt a degree of persecution. And so what you get is these, and it all, you know, these guys aren't being radicalized by necessarily watching testicle toasting Tucky O. Rose Tucker Carlson. They're being radicalized in right wing forums online. And if you know where to look, you can find it all over. And
Robin,
again,
is it fair to say
it's worse than you think it is?
Robin, is it fair to say that Charles Manson Bieber dream is coming to fruition? Is that what's going on?
Maybe not that far off.
That's scary as shit.
I mean, you can find conversations that are being had quite seriously. I mean, how do you define seriously? But it's not, okay, these are not things that are being said ironically about stripping women of the right to vote, stripping women of the right to work outside the home.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is, when you read these things, they sound so Saudi that you can't hardly miss it. And you can't help but wonder if this is, you know, because Mother Russia and China are not the only countries engaging in misinformation against us and disinformation. And if you look in these incel forums, the language itself has a kind of Saudi and I think people who have personal experience with it, there's a kind of a South Asian flavor to it. And I mean, no disrespect in that, but there are hotbeds. You know, look, I had the story last night about the fact that Twitter had 200 employees in India. 180 of them got canned, leaving 20 people to do the hard work of content moderation and hate speech elimination. And they're gone now. And there are things that happen that can happen in India that have deadly consequences as mass hysterias get whipped up. I mean, if you pay attention to them, the rape stories that come out of India are absolutely heartbreaking and hair-raising. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, and I think the evidence suggests, that it's spreading. So, and all of this sort of comes from what Lady B wrote, and Bernadette said, Lady B's right. Kanye's a distraction. The idiot has no power, just a mouth. But by the same token, he's a blinking beacon. I mean, he's a light bulb on the outside of a house in midsummer, and it just draws all the moths to him.
Yeah, he's an influencer, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, like when they were, crying out about censoring Trump, you know, the guy, you know, he was president. He could just put it on the White House news page, you know, and everybody, you know, he was the government, you know, so he wasn't being censored. It was the amplification. It was, you know, they got, you know, all their little networks, and Kanye, you know, functions as one of those amplifiers and distributors of just getting this message all over. And then they repeat all those, a lot of those right-wing talk or internet radio or talk radio hosts, you know, they got tons of followers, and all the, you know, Fox people repeat that stuff, you know, they'll, you know, and it's the amplification, you know, that they go for. And that's, you know, that's kind of what Kanye is serving as, I think, you know. I don't know how much of his money he's got left, you know.
Well, I don't know how much money he had to start with.
Yeah.
Because those paper billionaires are often exactly that. You know, the market in those silly tennis shoes that were made by Adidas.
Yeah.
And by the way, Matt in San Francisco observes mass shootings have become so commonplace that even marginalized people are getting in on the act. Mass shootings are kind of our thing. Call it America's brand. Hell, pretty soon the Buddhist priests will be joining the fray. Watch your back, people.
Well, it is. I mean, it's infectious. You know, it's viral. You know, the FBI guys, you know, that are guests on shows, you know, will say, you know, every time, you know, you see one and it gets big media, you know, you have a more probability of another one happening, you know, because of what they've seen or, you know, heard.
But somebody is behind them priming the pump.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I know it sounds like a broken record, but if you go and look at it, incels.
So what is that? When is that? You know, woman haters or something?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're misogynistic as hell. Incel is a term that was coined actually by a woman years and years and years ago to describe her involuntary celibacy. But aggrieved boys who are terminally online and never leave mama's basement have gotten into a sort of cybernetic circle jerk in which they talk about how aggrieved they are because women aren't having sex with them and they deserve sex.
And egg each other on.
And they developed this entire hierarchy. 80% of women are interested in 20% of men.
Well, yeah, I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, that's called hypergamy.
Maybe it was on.
And they sit around measuring the slope of their foreheads and the circumference of their skulls and the diameters of their wrists, and they determine that no, they're not unpartnered because they never get out of the basement. They can't attract a partner because evolution has somehow determined that they just lost. This is called taking the red pill. And then when they take the black pill, taking the black pill means that they just lie down and rot, or else they get a gun, which is incredibly easy for them to do, and they go and murder a bunch of people. You know, I've gone and tried to follow up a little bit on a story we had several months ago where a dude in upstate New York just drove by a young woman walking home from her college classes and wasted her. And he had incel written all over him. But you have to want to find this stuff, and you have to have investigators who are trained well enough to dig down into this.
Well, I saw the there's a guy on MSNBC, and I forget if he, I mean, if he's MSNBC or New York Times or whatever, but his deal is he goes into the dark, you know, recesses and kind of reports on that. And I think it was him or another guy like that. And they were talking about these, I don't know if it was like the game rooms or, yeah, maybe, you know, but it was stuff that, I mean, he kind of just barely mentioned it, but it's like, and you know, there's some people who probably want that to keep going. Like, they don't want to investigate it too much. They want to let it go because it's a generator, you know, it's supposed to be there and whip up. And I don't know if it was games like, you know, that kind of, portray, you know, the kind of stuff you're doing or we're talking about rather, but, it was, you know, when you talk about, we need to investigate it, you know, maybe there's a reason some forces don't want it investigated. And, you know, same reason we don't have the, a freaking law, you know, for the, or I guess it's white domestic terrorism or whatever, you know, whatever the law is that we don't have.
What you're talking about, Jack, is back during COVID, the Nazis and the white supremacists and the creeps latched hold of the idea of the internet. And they started sitting in games like Call of Duty and talking other kids into their beliefs and recruiting through game rooms. That's what happened.
Like, I know what you're talking about. I think this other one was even like worse. Maybe it wasn't even a game. It was just some kind of there was just a lot of, shooting and slashing and something just really, vile and infectious. But, you know, so like, taking the game, you know, like down a few levels or something into something more vile. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, some of those games, oh God, and I don't want to sound like some damn Republican. Some of those games, really are toxic. You know, some of the first person shooters, if you listen to the chatter on those games when they're being played live online, it's vile. You know, Gamergate was several years ago when a young woman complained about the treatment of women on those platforms, and she was relentlessly attacked. You know, right down to death threats.
Yeah,
it's all of this I wanted understood is fascist behavior. These aren't little commies, okay? There is an undercurrent of fascist indoctrination in this country that is really not well understood. And it's not being talked about in any great detail on any of the for-profit media channels. And I need to send thanks out to our good friend Christopher. Thank you, Christopher. Christopher just got us down to 685. The message says front porch upkeep. Thank you. We can get a new head for the horn front porch whisk broom. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you.
I can enlighten you a little bit about what you're talking about. Unfortunately, there's a game which I downloaded last year. So when I was bored, it's based on the Civil War, and you fight with muskets and bayonets and use your guns and they run out of clubs, and it's the North and South. You can imagine what happens when you're a Northern troop and the Confederates come at you and there's live chat in it. I kid you not, one time there's a guy who said end lover, end lover, end lover the whole session.
Yeah. I mean, there's a filthy subculture out there. And Lady V says, you know, this isn't a pissing contest. There have been more white male mass shooters, period. But yes, there have been several black males and other nationalities who have performed mass shootings. My white male friends like to point out gangs. But they don't shoot up fucking elementary schools. And if it was as big an epidemic as the white male shooters, I guarantee you nobody would own a fucking gun. I don't know that I can buy into that, Lady B. Simply because this is not California in the mid-1960s with Ronald Reagan as governor shitting himself because the Panthers stood on the steps in Sacramento with guns. This is a different time. They want everybody. This has been a long game by the National Rifle Association to get America in a state of complete and total distrust and hostility toward one another. And you know, we've had so many conversations about the Second Amendment. You know, it's worth remembering that the Heller decision, which was authored by fat, dead Tony Scalia, who's collecting pineapples in hell right next to fat, dead Rush. We all point to that language in the Second Amendment that says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the existence of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep an armed bears, etc. Well, in Heller, Fat Dead Tony specifically held that the language about a well-regulated militia just doesn't count.
Yeah, basically.
It's not even really there. Don't believe what your lying eyes are reading to you. Kind of like in a previous decision, all the language in the preamble to the Constitution, which Tracy and I were talking about last night. Yeah, that's just a pretty flourish, and it doesn't count either because it's not one of the articles or the amendments. So you can't bring a case saying that it runs contrary to domestic tranquility. You know, if domestic tranquility was able to be cited as a cause of action, you could shut down the gun industry. You follow? But no, Lady B, you're right. It's not a pissing contest. But offering a contrary opinion, Brother Deacon Asa says it's pretty dangerous when we start dismissing a raging Nazi simp with such a large platform as simply a distraction. That's how people like him acquire their following. And again, I point back, as I did talking with Tracy last night, to Kyrie Irving. This guy actually got millions upon millions of people to view a movie that denies the Holocaust. And all he is some idiot basketball player for the Brooklyn Nets. So, a Nazi anywhere is a threat to everybody everywhere. I don't care if it's one Nazi or 1,000. Because that actually works within the gestalt of never again. Yeah. And I take that seriously. And I think never again applies to never another Jewish Holocaust, never another any Holocaust, never another genocide. And frankly, as a country, we've been kind of piss poor about taking it seriously with regard to everybody.
Well, if the preamble of the Constitution is considered to be a head note, not part of the Constitution, how in the hell did the head note of Southern Pacific versus the state of California all of a sudden give corporations the right to be people?
Okay. What's the name of that case again?
Southern Pacific versus the state of California, I believe. Oh, Santa Clara County.
Santa Clara County, yeah. Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific. It didn't. It has been read.
But it's been quoted by.
It has been read as doing so. Yeah, but it's been read as doing so. It appears in the opinion, but it's not in the body of the opinion. It is merely a footnote. And so the Supreme Court can do what it wishes. And so they glommed onto that footnote. And God knows Tom Hartman has hammered on this.
Yeah.
As being the source of corporate personhood. But it's not really. It's because, again, it's a footnote. It's dictum. It's not the holding. There's nothing in Santa Clara versus Union against Southern Pacific that says corporations are persons.
Well, but they take it. No, it doesn't. But then they took it and through incremental
The head note in Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, and it was just in the head note, but not in the body of the case.
Right.
And it was written by a railroad attorney, and the person who wrote the majority opinion apparently was sick. And anyhow, there's a bit of a shady story around how it became the head note. But that head note was used in down the road cases of the Supreme Court as giving them justification for what has evolved into Citizens United. And my question isn't about how that all transpired and all the rest of it, but if the court wants to argue or people want to argue that the preamble to the Constitution is not part of the Constitution, it's just some fluff, and therefore we don't need to promote the general welfare, how is it that they can then turn around? I know it's typical Republican hypocrisy, but why can we then turn around and say the head note of Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific be used as justification for further Supreme Court cases? I'm pointing out what I perceive to be hypocrisy of
and it is, but the bottom line is the Supreme Court can do anything the Supreme Court can damned well hammer together a majority to do.
General welfare, I think, is within the Constitution, somewhere around the excise taxes and other stuff. I think it's like a Section 8, or maybe there's 8.8 subparagraphs or something. But I've heard that the preambles, it's like kind of contested, and it hasn't really ever been decided. People have argued either way, but you can't ignore it.
No, but the bottom line is the Supreme Court can do whatever the Supreme Court wishes to do.
Yeah.
And then, you wind up the other side of that coin is Justice Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
This all falls under the broad heading of the Tinkerbell theory of the Constitution. It's only in force as long as people believe in it. Mm-hmm. And what is so dangerous about everything from November 2020 forward and all the election denial is that it is symptomatic of a collapsing constitutional system.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have torn ourselves apart. Now, Steve in New York says you're all wrong. I wish I could call in to talk about this. If it's an internet thing, you can call in, Steve. You can call in on the stress line. It's right there, 844-843-4676, and I would love to be enlightened, and I'm not being argumentative.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah. This has...
Breathe.
As the right-wing capitalist conservative whatever corporate lawyer resident, none of anything you're saying is right. Okay, we need to separate this out in a number of issues. And if I start sounding crazy because of my microphone, let me know and I'll switch that.
Well, if anything goes sideways, just use a regular phone and call in on the stress line.
It works. And my phone is at 5%. So if it all of a sudden goes out, it's not that I don't love all you all. It's just that I don't have any battery left. Santa Clara has nothing at all to do with whether or not a corporation is a person. That's not the issue. Issue is a corporation a person for the purposes of rights under the 14th Amendment?
Correct.
Number one, corporations are independent people under state law. And the reason they're that way is because when a person incorporates, and all you weirdo, my God, I'm going to sound weird here. All you weirdo super liberals need to understand something.
Weirdo super and, liberals?
Yes. And I count myself among those in certain instances. But the reason we have corporate personhood is so a person like me, because I have my own little small business, so that my corporation can make contracts and it doesn't subject my personal assets to liability when someone sues my company for a breach of contract. That's what it's all about.
Okay? Hence the LLC, the limited liability LLC, corporation.
No, it's not. LLC is not a limited liability corporation. It's a limited liability company. That's different than a corporation. Bottom line is this, is that when a person starts a company, they want to protect their personal assets because they don't want to put their personal assets at jeopardy for issues or for breaches of contract that are in the name of the corporation or the company in the case of an LLC. That's what this is about. So I just hate this because these goddamn, excuse me, let me take a breath. I get so sick of this because all these, and I'm 99.9% on the side of progressives and yada, yada, yada in this stuff. But I get so sick of this because it's so easy to lump big corporations in with little tiny companies that all they're trying to do is protect. I want to protect my personal assets. I want to protect my home.
Steve, everything you just said makes perfect 100% sense. I think the frustration lies when our Christian mullahs on the court extend that personhood idea to Hobby Lobby.
Stop.
What?
You're missing the point. Let's talk about Hobby Lobby, for instance. You're missing the point. The point about Hobby Lobby, well, let me ask you this, Chris. What do you think the issue with Hobby Lobby is? What is your problem with Hobby Lobby? And when you tell me, if you're right, I'll tell you. If you're wrong, I'll say, no, you're wrong. Here's the issue, but go ahead.
Well, I think that there shouldn't be any distinction on any religious grounds on healthcare provided by the employer.
That's not what Hobby Lobby said. That's not the implications
explain. Of Hobby Lobby. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Remember what I said. There is a difference between a company and its owners, which is why when a company does something wrong, you cannot sue the shareholders. What Hobby Lobby did was so crazy, was it said, we are going to impute the religious beliefs of the individual owners to the company.
Yeah. Which is wrong.
Which is silly, because a company can't fucking have religious beliefs, because a company is nothing more than a function of the state. It doesn't think, it doesn't own, it owns shit. Of course it can, but it doesn't think. It doesn't have beliefs. It can contract by itself. It doesn't have beliefs. That's the problem with Hobby Lobby. Robin can vouch for me on this. It's one of those weird things where it's a distinction that oftentimes only a lawyer can appreciate. because I hear an awful lot of times where people tell me, ah, it's about semantics. And my issue is, no, it's not about semantics.
Oftentimes it's about terms of art.
Terms of art. But there's a reason that when you set up a small business, that your small business isn't subject, that you as a owner of that business are not subject to the same liabilities as the business. This is nothing nefarious. This isn't some fucking, oh, screw capitalists. That's not what this is about. It's, I suspect, I don't know for sure, but I suspect that Robin has, that the horn or head on radio or head on live or this asshole going beside him anyway, has, it shields her from when her company, head on, isn't able to pay a bill, they don't come after Robin's house. That's the purpose here.
That makes perfect sense.
But stop with this nefarious. There's nothing nefarious about this. It's the abuse of this that's the problem. There's nothing inherently nefarious about having a corporation or a company being a person aside from the owners.
I get that. And I think that the Christian Mullers are to blame for weaponizing.
Forget about the Christian Mullers crap. Dude, stop it. You're
easy.
You're
easy.
I understand, but this is like these are platitudes.
Well, there has been a lot of bad information put out over a substantial period of time in relation to this issue because it is so deeply lawyery.
But it's very simple, Robin. It's very simple. And here's what's very simple. What's simple is that people have abused the notion of corporate personhood. And the people, and the Hobby Lobby is a perfect example, is that these people who own their own company, and that's, let me tell you, that's the real thing about Hobby Lobby. The real issue there is that the court blended the religious views of the owners with the separate entity, the company. That's the problem.
Yeah, and they were able to do so because it was, again, term of art, a closely held corporation.
But again, it wasn't a corporation. But putting that aside,
yeah, it's privately owned. It's what was the example? What was the example we had a month or so ago? Uline,
or Twitter,
entirely owned by the family. Elon Musk bought Twitter and took it private. And once it's private, you can do pretty much anything you want.
But you also can't hide, you can't, or at least you shouldn't be able to say, oh, the company, Hobby Lobby, is no different than the owners.
That's where the logic falls apart.
That's where the logic falls apart.
Imputing to Hobby Lobby whatever weird religious feelings the family has.
The owners have.
Yeah, it's a bad extension.
Because this is the 800 pound gorilla in the room. The 800 pound gorilla in the room is this. If you're going to say that you can impute the religious views of the owner onto the company, because remember in Hobby Lobby, the suit was against the company. And the company, in law, is a separate entity. So if we're going to really do that, then there should be no difference between the company and the owners. That's the real issue here. So, okay, great. You want to say that? You want to say that the religious beliefs of the owners are also the religious beliefs of the fucking company, which is a completely, what is a company? An LLC is a company. You file an articles of organization with a state secretary of state of a given state. And therefore that person, which is the company, exists. That's the issue with Hobby Lobby, that people do not emphasize or understand. That's the real issue. There's nothing inherently wrong about having a corporate personhood. Problem with Hobby Lobby is that they imputed the benefit of a religious belief that the individual holds onto the company, but maintained...
And by extension, onto the employees thereof.
Yeah, and but at the same time said... I mean, if you, I guarantee you, if you were to go to court right now and say, I'm going to sue the people who own Hobby Lobby because of this decision, a court would say, but there is this, you don't, your beef isn't with the people of the owners, your beef is with the company. That's the real issue, is because for purposes of this bullshit that they had, they were able to impute their individual beliefs onto the company, and then the company was able to sue the government because the company had to remember that. Go back and look. The company, the law required the company to provide something, not the individual people. That's the real problem here.
Basically, they took ideas that they had developed with regard to religious institutions like Catholic Charities or the Little Sisters of the Perpetually Bereft or whatever, and said, well, we can make that exception. They created an exception where no exception should have existed within the statute.
100%. What they did was, for religious purposes, we're going to impute those religious beliefs onto the company so that the company can sue and say, oh, we are so put upon for you requiring us as people / company to provide this, but that the limited liability still exists because it's a separate person for all other reasons, for all of our purposes.
And remember, so-called corporate personhood has a different side. And that was on display this week in the no contest plea that what was formerly Cabot Oil and Gas, which might as well have been, their corporate insignia may as well have been a skull and crossbones. They were acquired by Conterra Energy. And 14 years after they poisoned the water of Dimock, Pennsylvania, they entered no contest, corporate no contest, please, to poisoning the water of Dimock, Pennsylvania. And now they have to pay for clean water for the people of Dimock, Pennsylvania for the next 75 years and spend $115 million putting in a new water supply.
Now, let me say this. There is a circumstance where, and Robin will understand this.
You bet I know where we're going.
You pierce that corporate veil.
Jamie.
And what you say is what the actions of the owners was so egregious. And remember, owners mean shareholders, or in the case of an LLC, members. It's so egregious that you say, there was really no difference. And because there was no difference, or because of the egregiousness of it, we should hold the individual shareholders responsible for the acts of the company. That's really that's where we need to go with this. Does any of this make any sense? I just feel
It makes a ton. I mean, and if you ever want a really good exegesis on piercing the corporate veil, there is no better book than one simply called The Buffalo Creek Disaster.
Okay.
And it's all about the plaintiff's counsel going after and piercing the corporate veil of the Pittston Corporation in the wake of a monumental, unnatural disaster when a coal company owned by Pittston had a sludge dam bust loose and several millions of gallons of toxic waste roared down a holler in Logan County, West Virginia, in February of 1972.
Excellent.
And West Virginia state government did everything in its power to try to protect the company. Right up to and including Arch Moore, father of Arch in a Bad Wig, Shelley Moore. Arch being the single most corrupt politician ever to exist in the state of West Virginia. He called out the National Guard to point guns at journalists to keep them from going in and looking at what Pittston had made happen. And they sued Pittston and pointed out that there was no fundamental difference between the actions of Pittston and the actions of its wholly owned subsidiary, that they were, in fact, one and the same. And it's a fascinating and heartbreaking book. And I had to, I had to read it for civil procedure in 1989, maybe 1988, something like that.
Wow. I didn't realize you were so old. 89. I didn't realize you were so old.
Oh, I'm older than dirt.
I just have to point out something. I'm actually in a park here in New York City, leaning against a tree, peeing in public. So.
Well, if we hear, you're not the first one to take a leak live on the air, so you know.
Hey.
I'm not naming names or anything, but I'm gonna interrupt for just a second because Matt just asked a very important question. Where are we on fundraising? Well, we are at it's the 2nd of December. We had a horrible deficit coming out of November, and to come up even with right now, our community-made miracle in the next 35 minutes involves $685. So,
hey, Robin, it sounds like we need a fraternity of Christophers, because there was one Christopher that gave some
Yes, we do have multiple.
I gave a donation.
We have multiple Christophers, yes. We, you know, fraternities don't just spring up. They are colonized. So we have a fraternity, we have a colony of Christophers right now.
Colony, okay, got it. And what you said about that most corrupt politician in West Virginia history, God damn, that's a high bar. High bar.
Well, yeah, I mean, but Arch Moore was so crooked that when he died, they had to use an auger to bury him, and he was so crooked they had to screw him into the dirt. God, what a... Yeah. Hey, thank you, Matt. Matt says I'll do 85 and get us down to $600. Thank you, Matt. I can't thank you enough, my friend. Thank you so much. And I just had a lovely note from John Britovo. John, why aren't you in the conversation? You're done with Beer and Bud Friday, aren't you, brother? John says, I always learn a little something listening to the show. I love that, and I do too. I do too. There's such a brilliant exchange of information that takes place here.
Hey, Rob, can I say something real quick?
Okay.
And I apologize.
Don't say it like an auctioneer. We'll lose it, but, you know.
My phone is down to 2%, so I'm probably going to kick off here. And I apologize if I sounded too whatever.
Yeah, you were a little harsh. A little harsh there, Steve.
You know, that's what you should expect from an Ohio fruit loop.
I'll quit that.
That loss. You could still win the championship, though. There is an outside chance.
No, that's not. Listen, I don't want to talk about it. So.
Right.
But anyway, I'm down to 2%, so I'm probably going to. It's just probably going to just.
Well, have a great weekend. Root for Purdue, because I know you will. Mm-hmm. Oh, there are no Chi Omegas at Purdue. No, there are no Chi Omegas at Purdue. And so Robin, the beta theta pi's have to sleep with sigma chi's. Oh, there are no chi omegas at Purdue. Sorry, fraternity songs.
Okay.
And Robin, you have an outside chance too. Your Crimson Tide.
I would be satisfied if at least maybe somebody, one of the Purdue people, like threw a ball or pulled into Harbaugh and castrated him, or I don't know, broke his neck or something.
Oh my goodness!
Stop it!
Game of Thrones.
Wait a minute, I gotta finish. Okay, you got me started. I gotta finish the. What's that, Sparky?
USC is gonna win the game again tonight against Utah.
Yeah. That's a four
time. Yeah. The Pac-12 just can't get any love.
They're in.
The Pac-12 they sucks win, ass. In. That's the problem. They don't play anybody. They suck ass.
Nah, quit that.
They're gonna be in there, and whoever they play is gonna blow them the hell out. And the playoff committee is gonna be like, oh, we should never have let the Pac-12 in. So next year we'll let like.
You know, we can solve all of this just by going to an 8-team playoff.
Well, watch the game tonight, and you'll find out about their quarterback.
Okay.
2024 is 12 teams. That's confirmed.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Hey, thank you to our buddy Mark out in Florida. 40 bucks for the three Christophers. So that takes us down to 560. And an anonymous friend said, here's 25 bucks. Somebody else pay it forward. So that gets us down to $535. $535 for a community made miracle. Thank you to our anonymous friend. So that's so helpful. So that means basically yesterday and today, today's entirely unfunded, but $60 of yesterday is funded. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. And by the way, I got a note from Lady B. Older than dirt. That reminds me, I accidentally got an email from Methuselah meant for you. I read it, and they said George Burns says hi. Say goodnight. Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
I have a question.
Yes. Hi, Scott.
I have two questions, actually.
Ask them. Ask both of them.
Is the pronunciation... pronunciation. You can't buy these teeth through the mail. You have to go in and have them fitted. Okay. By a professional who's not... Never mind. Is it?
There's drinking involved.
Exegesis.
By Pepsodent. Yeah.
You use a word that I've always pronounced exegesis, and you said exegesis, which is the correct pronunciation.
I was always told it was exegesis.
Well, see, I heard it was exegesis.
It's exegesis.
All right, wait a minute. What is the old gospel song? 'Tis so sweet to exegesis. That's how I got to pronounce it. No,
really?
I'm serious. I heard that, and I said, well, wait a minute. That's how the word should be pronounced. Never. That's the silly question.
Serious question. Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you.
You're going to give a legal footnote. I know you were.
No, I wasn't. I was just going to add another word. And that word is consummate.
That's a soup.
No, that's consommé.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn you. I always heard consummate. But I ran across a very learned person once upon a time who said it's consummate.
Now, see, there's a third option, then.
And that's consummate, but that's a verb. I'm talking about it...
consummate as in the deal or
no consummate, that's a verb. I'm talking about, you know, the consummate violin player of the late 19th century.
Jack Benny. No.
Yes. You're quick.
But here's my serious question. I had to rub my eyes when I got up this morning because I didn't believe what I was reading. And was in one of the newspapers online indicating that there are two ways that old crazy Guggenheim down there in Georgia could actually beat Warnock.
Well, I don't know if I can take this.
No, I, I, I didn't even read the article. I saw the headline. I said,
are you talking about the man with the erection for the people?
Old werewolf face, old fuzzy.
I'll pass.
And I'm thinking, have they no sense in Georgia? I mean, it's at least 50% plus.
We kind of need Brother Bishop Skeeve for this one.
Well, I mean, if he, his latest, and I love what Obama said. He said, I there was a time when I argued the relative merits of werewolves and vampires, but I was seven. Okay. And
check the chat, Robin.
He says,
just look.
He said something like, Mr. Warnock can be whatever he wants to be, just as long as it's not senator from Georgia, which I heartily agree. I'm not Warnock, but Walker.
Yeah.
Got too many W's in this place. But anyway.
And by the way, given the fact that he actually lives in Texas, not Georgia, I insist that we use in the remaining days of the campaign his new title, Walker, Georgia Stranger.
Oh, that's good. Give yourself a cowbell.
Cowbell for that. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, kind internet friends.
And the next time there's an ice storm in Texas, Raphael could pack him up along with him to take him to Cancun. That fell flat.
Hold yeah, not your best work, Christopher.
But
John Bridevo was just now trying to get in.
Speaking of Texas,
and I can't. I'm not in a position where I can add him to the group.
Is Herschel his neighbor?
I'll work on it.
Okay, thanks, Parky.
Well, anyway, I just don't see how it's possible that, because on the most recent general election, the Fartface, who's the governor of the state of Georgia, Kemp, I think his name is Kent, whatever.
Kemp.
Out P. He got 200,000 more votes. 200,000 more people voted for Kemp to be governor than voted for Warnock or Walker to be president. Jesus, where am I? But
I don't know,
here
Scott.
Is this. To be senator.
Where's your coffee?
No, I had enough coffee. Maybe that's the problem. But it just astounds me. All the stuff that is known about this guy or suspected, or hell, just look at him for a while. Listen to him.
Oh God.
Vampires, werewolves.
Jimmy Buffett had a song on an album maybe back in the 90s, not one of the biggies, but one of the albums. And the title of the song was Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. And I thought about the other day when we were talking about, him watching Fright Night, which doesn't have any werewolves in it or vampires or something. I've never seen the film. There's a level of stupid there that...
Oh, it's an insult to stupid people to even include him in that group.
It really is.
I mean, think about it.
Robin, I think you just came up with Walker's new campaign song. Sounds perfect.
Let me check and see if maybe I can round that up real quick.
I'm a dummy. I'm a dummy. Jesus.
No, you can't use the same song as the Hunter Biden anthem.
Oh, shoot. Damn it. Yeah, you're right. Because it will confuse people.
John's in the room now.
Oh, okay.
Hey
John Bridevo. How are you, my friend?
Robin. I'm doing just fine. How about you, darling?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
We had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
I saw your post, and I think what you do down there is just magnificent.
Well, that I can't hardly take any credit for that. That was one blue dot out in Willits, California, Daryl Heimsness, that that did that. He just called me up, John, it's in the mail, go do this. So that's what I did. But we had fun, and it makes you feel good to be involved in that kind of stuff.
Darn straight.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
We did. It was very quiet. Just made a few things. It was just Annette and me here. The kids and the babies were off at my daughter-in-law's people. And so I smoked a chicken on the smoker and came up with a dish.
Doing a little smoking, are you?
Yeah. I have not entirely stopped smoking.
All right.
I may not smoke cigarettes anymore, but I'm still up for smoking ribs and smoking shoulders and smoking the occasional chicken.
There you go. Good.
Just gotta use a jumper cable for a roach clip when you're smoking a chicken.
Yeah, that's it. They wiggle a lot too.
Yes.
How you doing, Big John? Good to
I'm
hear
from
you,
I'm doing just
man.
Fine. Good. Glad to hear that. Thank you for saying that. Oh, I'm doing fine. Trying to find my butt. I know I left it around here somewhere. Yeah, you know, typical stuff. It's Friday, baby. We get to slide into a weekend. No, uh-huh. I was enjoying the conversation about Hobby Lobby there.
Yeah.
No. You don't have to refresh it. I'm just.
No. It's just so easy to kind of miss for the forest for the trees and all of that.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's kind of a disservice the degree to which that Union Pacific versus Southern Santa Clara or vice versa has been misused in the entire discussion. And I think Steve dispelled some of that.
Yeah, I was picking up on what he was saying. I enjoyed it. Like I said, learn a little something every day. Hell, it makes me want to go to law school. Shit. I'm too old now.
You would have had a blast.
I would have missed my calling in life, I guess. Damn.
Well, catch it on the next time around.
Yeah, there you go. When I come back for the second round or third. I don't forgot which round it is now. You know.
Yeah, what I found it to be, and, you know, there are a lot of people I graduated with who do not, like me, who do not practice law. But a law school education is the ultimate liberal arts education because you have to be able to learn a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
The one thing they don't teach you how to do is run a law office.
Hey, you know who's not practicing law?
Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah. No, you know why he's not practicing law, John?
Why is that?
Because he shot his eye out.
He shot his eye out. You're going to shoot your eye out. And sure enough, shit, he did. I was at that little verdict made me smile. Put a smile on my face. You know, a little bit of justice floating around. But that's not enough. We need another helping, baby.
No, and I did.
Proud Boys are up to bat.
There you go. See?
Yep, their time in the barrel.
Mm-hmm. And we're all speaking of Mr. Roger Stone, he will come around again. His time will come back around again. It's going to come around. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
We ain't done with him yet.
I hope not. Put him in the barrel, too.
Agitate until clean.
Yeah.
That's gonna be
a lot of agitating.
That's going to be a lot of agitating,
a lot
John.
Of agitate, baby.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shit smeared on that guy.
Right.
But I'm enjoying it. I think the entertainment is going to pick up rather soon. You know, the wheels of justice turning. I think we're going to hear more out of Fulton County, Georgia, pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You know, who was that? Pat Cipollone lost into a courtroom this morning to give a little bit more testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think things are cranking.
Because Pat Cipollone would like to hang on to his law license.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go to prison.
He don't want to go to prison. He already got, well, maybe he can get hooked up at Stir Road, form a gang in prison or something, you know.
You know, isn't there a line, you mentioned Stuart Rhodes and me talking about you'll shoot your eye out. Isn't there a line in An Officer and a Gentleman about where Louis Gossett Jr. tells Richard Gere he will pop his eyeballs out and skull fuck him to death.
I thought that was Full Metal Jacket.
Was it? I thought yeah, it, I, it okay, maybe.
Sound like that.
But it,
it could be both of them. I mean,
yeah, know. Could be.
Hey, Stewie, know. Honey, take off the eye patch.
Well, what's that old joke about the one-eyed lady of the night? The punchline is, "I'll keep an eye out for you."
Yeah,
I'll keep you an know eye the out story. For you. I mean, he's gonna be.
Here we go. Sliding
Stewart,
right down
Elmer
into the ditch.
Stewart. It's going to be pretty popular in whatever place they send him into. And he's just couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
This keeps going. We're going to be talking about Shiny Heiny any minute now. I know it.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
What I'm wondering.
It's great. Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner. What a perfect gift.
What I'm wondering about.
Reach right around the corner. Yeah.
About Trump is when will it dawn? You know. In culture, in cartoons and stuff, the international symbol for having an idea is a light bulb above your head. Okay. When is the light bulb going to come on over Trump's head along the lines of that old Red Fox saying, if you can see the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet?
Never. Never. It'll never. No. He is incapable of that much self-awareness. He really is.
But on some level...
No!
On some level, maybe he'd never admit it. Maybe that's the distinction. He would never say, I'm sorry. He would never admit...
Oh, absolutely
that,
not.
...that he's fallible. But in the dead of night, and, you know, it gets awfully quiet at night when it's just you and yourself and I, so to speak.
And a can of Diet Coke.
As a present can of Diet Coke. But
cheeseburgers can be very quiet.
Well, if he can't even acknowledge something to his own self, I mean, that's if you're lying to yourself.
Sociopaths don't do introspection, Scott.
Well, I'm lucky that I must not.
Sociopaths don't have long dark nights of the soul.
They don't have souls, probably.
If anything scares him, it's that he knows exactly how his vile old Klansman daddy died. Absolutely out of his mind, with his brain Swiss cheesed by Alzheimer's.
And we can only hope the same for Donnie.
And
or is he already there?
Well, I think he's on. Come on, John. Man, one man, woman, camera, TV.
It's all embedded in our mind. Every one of us could recite those five words. In the dark.
Listen to a speech from him in 2016 or even 2017 and listen to him speak now. And you tell me that's not like almost a completely different person. He is going downhill fast.
I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
And, I mean, there is, because, you know, classics nerd, right? Lately, I have been just absolutely sort of obsessed with the fall of Gaius Marius, who was unprecedentedly consul of Rome 7 times. He said that he had been given a prophecy by some deity who said that he would be consul of Rome 7 times, and that was unheard of in the Republican Rome of around 100 BCE. And it turned out he was, but by the time he got to his 7th consulate, he was completely out of his freaking mind. I mean, yeah. And
oh, how was that?
And that was what prompted Sulla to march on Rome, which broke another norm of the Republic, in order to relieve Rome from the madness of Marius. And after that, it was one civil war after another. And the next thing you know, 100 years later, there's no more Republic. Not it's more like a 80 years later. There's no more Republic, and it's, you know, the Roman Empire. And when I think about January 6, 2021, and I see these maggots in places like Arizona behaving the way they are, and I see these laws being passed against against, you know, fragile, marginalized children the way they are, we're one more fuck up away from just being done. And I'm sitting there, you know, and we're all sitting here waiting for the Supreme Court to fuck up the Moore decision and turn over the Electoral College in its entirety to the state legislatures. Mm-hmm. And that makes 2024 a real party. And it's frightening. John, I do have you, I do have you here, and you are our Texas correspondent.
Right. What I do.
Are you up at all on this latest raft of, you know, because Texas is the clearinghouse for transphobic insanity.
Seems to be, doesn't it?
Are you up at all on this latest raft of legislation that's been introduced?
No, I'm not, Robin. I've had a lot going on in my life here lately, but I haven't.
No, I understand.
What's going on?
Well, I'm scared to death.
What is this? What is this reference?
Well, the Texas legislature is I guess they pre-filed, because they're not sitting right now, are they?
No, I think they're out right now. We'll be back after the holidays.
They pre-filed a bill that would make it a felony for a loving parent to get gender-affirming care for a trans child. And the child would then be kidnapped into the tender mercies of the already failing Texas foster care system. You know, this is on top of making it a crime to provide, you know, puberty blockers, things like that. And it's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
And people are trying.
I remember hearing about the case a while back, though, but I did not know that it was.
And people are trying. You know, there are parents who are trying to figure out, and some who already have fled Texas.
Uh huh.
Now, isn't that sad?
Yeah, and these are people who are happy as Texans. They love their Texas. Texans love Texas. I mean, that's always the way I've understood it.
Yeah.
West Virginians love West Virginia, right, Robin?
Right. And then on top of that, and this is where it gets scary for the grown-ups, any performance by a person performing as anything other than their gender assigned at birth in any venue that serves alcohol turns that venue into a sexually oriented business.
Oh, please.
Wow.
Oh, please. Really?
Yeah. John, these bills have a substantial likelihood of becoming law.
Yes, they do, because the Republicans control Texas.
Down there stay up late or pay someone to stay up late thinking up, quote,
yes,
solutions,
yes,
to problems that don't,
yes,
actually
there's
bother
no
anybody?
Shortage of them.
Focus on the family resource council, Christian children's family associate. I can't even remember the name of the organization right now, but yes. And they have millions and millions and millions of tax-free dollars with which to do it. So just for a moment, imagine a Cowboys game. And let's say somebody comes and sings the national anthem.
Badly.
No.
Been known to happen.
Sings it beautifully.
Oh, okay.
But.
But she happens to be trans.
Oh, no, can't have that.
Well, she would be subject to arrest. And it's written so poorly that, let's say, a trans person goes out to a bar and dances on the dance floor. Boom.
And that's a sexually orientated business thing.
Mm-hmm. And she is he is subject to arrest, or they.
The whole bar. The bar owner. That's
a license
violation,
right?
Operating a sexually orientated club without a license.
Yeah, they could shut it down. That's right.
go after the person dancing. Go after the club if that's what they're going to say.
Now, they'll go after everybody because they will deem anyone dressed as anything other than their gender assigned at birth is a drag queen or a drag king.
God.
And this and the thing is, this is full on fascism. What a lot of people don't know is that before the Nazis went after the Jews, they went after the trans people because there was amazing research being done in Berlin in the mid 1920s into gender expression, etc. And the Nazis burned the clinic and killed the doctor. And made all gender nonconforming quote unquote deviants wear a pink triangle affixed to their clothing. We've spent a lot of time this evening talking about Nazis. If y'all want Nazi behavior, look at these bills coming out of Texas.
Yeah.
Because it's straight out of the Nazi playbook.
So a trans person sings the national anthem at a Dallas Cowboys football game, everybody in the stadium is subject to arrest?
I don't know that everybody in the stadium is, but the singer is, and the ownership of the stadium becomes a sexually oriented business.
Yeah. Well, the people,
because it's written that broadly.
The people who paid to get in would be
participants.
In
a sexually orientated business.
Aiding and
abetting. And they pay to feed
them. Get
them
all, baby. Line them up. Let's go. Get them all out of the stadium. We got enough handcuffs. Let's go. It's ridiculous. It's sad that it comes out of my state, but it's all across the country. And if you're wondering who
this isn't Robin Picks on Texas time.
No,
it's just that
this is the what the Republican Party has become.
Yeah.
And as long as they continue down the road they are, this is what other endpoint are you going to come to except that? That full blown fascism. They want a supreme leader. They want a Kim Jong Un on that side.
This is Gilead.
Yeah, and you know, Alabama will introduce something like this, and Tennessee and Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Country. Yeah.
And they are trying to criminalize the very lives of trans people.
But we're not going to let them do that, are we?
I hope not. Problem is, though, once the Texas legislature passes it and once Greg Aspott signs it into law, when the ACLU or whoever
it will be challenged. You know.
Well, they'll challenge, but the problem is they'll have to find a sane federal district judge in Texas, which is kind of a unicorn hunt at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to do around here.
And then you got to find. And then
sad, baby. That's how come I can't give up.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, I've had so many people, John, why don't you move out of Texas? Come on up here where we are. It's a lot better. Well, because the work ain't done here. You can't leave West Virginia, can you?
Not hardly.
Red as red can be, ain't it?
And getting redder.
There you go. We can't, you know, it's the battle that we've chosen.
Oh, and speaking of battles, John, since the panphobic asshole has been returned to office, and the Democrat challenger lost. I'm going to be going down to Charleston and filing my pre-candidacy papers soon. I'm running for that. I'm running for that seat again. Damn it!
You are?
Yeah, I am in 2024.
Outstanding, Robin. Outstanding. Can't give up on that shit, baby.
Yeah, I was thinking about running for Congress, but somebody bigger with more organization will do that. And I'm not quite ready to run for governor, and there's no percentage in primary in Joe Manchin.
As articulate and as knowledgeable as you are, Robin, it's, you know, you can make a hell of an impact, buddy.
Well, I'm thinking maybe this time through I'll be in a little bit better position to campaign more.
And more knowledgeable. You know, first time around, you learn a lot of shit.
But this time through, I won't be, you know, 8 weeks out from major surgery. I'll be fully.
Your mind will be able to be more centered upon the election rather than the campaign rather than other personal things. So outstanding.
Right? So if I file, you know, I'm going to file my pre-candidacy papers, and that will allow me to start fundraising early, so that hopefully maybe I'll have a war chest by 2024.
There you go. Let me know. Let me know when you do.
I will. I will.
Pitch that. We will. We will indeed. Good. I'm glad. See, there's hope for West Virginia. There's got to be hope for Texas down here.
Yeah, y'all got a hell of a lot more. Y'all got a hell of a lot more progressives and liberals down there than we got up here.
I would run, but we don't have the he needed slapping law. That's what.
I'd run on that platform.
So I could slap the shit out of them when they make a fool out of themselves. Yeah.
You know, I forget who the Texas legislator was, but Molly Ivins, the late great.
Oh, I love that woman. I miss her.
She reported on him way back in the day. I wish I could remember the guy's name. But at one point in time, the Republicans in Texas were all worked up about bastardy. And there was, you know, and bastardy pretty much, born out of wedlock, has pretty much been eliminated as a negative legal force. And there were some Republicans back in the day in Texas who wanted to return concepts of bastardy to the law of the state of Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Why has it got to be my state
that
all the time?
That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Because sometimes West Virginia needs some fucking relief, John Bredevoe.
Man, I guess.
Molly wrote that one Democrat rose in the chamber and said, you know, I'm not nearly as worried about the bastards outside of this chamber as I am the ones in it.
Yeah. Isn't that a
I've always loved
profound,
that.
Yeah. It's a profound statement.
You know, it's 5 o'clock and we haven't even talked about the debt ceiling thing yet.
It's 5 o'clock.
That's coming down the pike, and that's going to be a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Right. And they have to get it done before the inmates of Bedlam get the keys to the cells on January 3rd.
Yep,
oh, isn't it going to be feces, fun?
Yeah, and the monkey feces flinging parade.
I will have no shortage of material to yak about.
I really hope that man of silly putty, Kevers McCarthy, is not successful in trying to pull his carcass together. Because that could, can you, I mean, this is one of those dare to dream moments. But can you imagine, can you,
probably dare.
Can you imagine Hakeem Jeffries getting 217 votes and Kevers McCarthy not getting 217 votes?
Yeah. Seems to be a problem.
Dare to dream.
On the first ballot.
You know what's coming, Robin.
And the maggots screw up and get their majority run by the minority leader. Yeah, that'd be one of those moments where you say, well, you know, whatever else happened, I got to be alive and see that.
Well, they're known for shooting themselves in the foot. Let them do it again. Let it.
I say hand them a howitzer and point at their big toe.
Really, can't miss, buddy. Aim and fire.
And by the way, Lady B, speaking of werewolves, I don't know if Herschel Walker will win in Georgia. Or even get to live out his dreams of becoming a vampire. One thing's for sure, though. His hair was perfect.
Oh, that's well done. Well done, cowbell. Well done.
I saw him drinking a pina colada down at Trader Vic's. There's never a bad time for a Warren Zevon reference, Lady B. Never. He'll rip your heart out, Jim. Walker. Texas stranger.
Was he ever a neighbor of yours, John?
Mine?
Yeah.
No. I don't think I've ever heard your voice crack like that, John.
Hell no. I hope Georgia keeps his ass after he loses.
Nah, he's got to come home so he can get that $1,500 tax deduction.
No, he don't. He's a rich man. He can afford that. Fuck. Go make a loan from Donnie. Get the fuck out of my state. Yeah, I tell you what, the one solid question that runs through my mind every time that Walker is brought up is the question in my head that goes, really, Georgia? That's what you consider good senator material? That's the guy that you want to put up there? It's pitiful.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad. they just want to, I compare him to my congressman, Michael Cloud, District 27 in Texas. Baby, sit down, shut up, vote the way we tell you to vote. That's all we want out of your ass, and that's what they're going to get out of him if he gets in there, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, but John, keep this in mind. You can't have Herschel Walker without Marginal Trailer Queen.
What I'm looking forward to is, you know, jacking off Jim Jordan's going to be head of the Judicial Committee. Really? Hold on to your britches, baby.
Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. Sing it with me, Scott. The Benghazi of our time.
Pull your hat down tight, baby. It's going to be a hell of a ride. It's going to be
Set up a cot for Hunter.
I've done a pretty good job of staying out of the of not picking up the bottle of rock gut tequila and the swirly straw, but this upcoming House of Representatives is going to challenge that.
You use a straw.
Just make sure you go out and buy all the popcorn you need before there's a shortage.
Yeah, no kidding. There's going to be a shortage.
It is going to be a shit show. We will have no shortage of material, Robin.
No.
Be able to pull a show right out of your head.
Yeah, it's going to be springtime for us.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty to talk about.
Robin, it's not going to be Monday, Moran Monday. It's going to be Moran Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, it's just going to turn into the Moranity Report.
It's going to be Benghazi all over again.
All Morans all the time. It's like our fucking radio positioning statement.
Right here on WMRN. God.
Moron. You know, and then the...
Morana. Oh, God, no. I'm singing the music they sing at 50s Italian weddings. No. I know.
Chris Hayes just posted a...
And we wouldn't if we could.
Right. What's that, Roger?
Chris Hayes just posted the swastika that KN posted on Twitter that got him suspended. It's a swastika embedded into the Star of David.
Yeah, I saw that.
What were we saying about morons?
Well, you know, it's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the good book, John. Jesus looked up and said, "Y'all, the morons you have always with you."
That's it.
And he was not wrong. Well, listen, y'all, it has been a wonderful evening. John, thanks for popping by. I do appreciate it.
I enjoyed it, Robin. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it's always...
Come in and touch in with the gang.
It's always a delight hearing from you, and I hope everybody stays well and happy and healthy down there in the...
We're doing our best, baby.
In the, in the Britovo compound. You know, here by... Well, let's see. What is it? Today's the second... Tuesday... my little granddaughter, Junie, will be all of 6 months old.
No shit.
Oh, and what a little cutie. And her big sister is such a great big sister. And every now and then, her big sister comes back and says hello on the radio. She likes to do that.
There you go. You know about our littlest blue dot, don't you?
No.
No, our littlest blue dot is Dominic. That's Bernadette's grandson.
Oh, yeah. What's the latest?
He got honor roll again.
Attaboy, Dominic.
Oh man, he is cranking it out there, and we support him left and right. We want to help him along in his life as much as we can.
Absolutely,
and that's what we preach. That's our future right there.
And Bernadette jumped in and helped move us a little closer to the miracle this evening. Thank you again, Bernadette.
You too.
And we're gonna finish.
Thank you, Bernadette.
We're gonna finish at $535 to go this evening, so we'll carry that over to Monday and hope for the best.
Well, it's another battle on Monday, baby. We keep going.
Yep, exactly.
That people realize it takes a few bucks to do this stuff. This is Robin's job, baby. How much you paying an hour?
Yeah, I'm saving up my nickels for a new set of brakes.
Yeah, I think we're working minimum wage, baby. But that's okay, because like I said, even if it wasn't there, we would keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
It makes it easier on Robin's life if she can pay the bills and there's grocery money. That helps.
Yeah, and, you know, not getting the car towed out of the driveway. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. So it just like everybody else's life, it takes money, unfortunately, to live it. And in this, like I said, this is Robin's job, baby. So give her a pay raise. Send in what you can. That's always what I say. Don't hurt yourself. But if you can afford to, do it. Because it makes you feel better and it helps Robin out tremendously. And besides that, you get a lot of love back from everybody.
Everybody, absolutely.
Everybody.
That's one of the things that I've been trying to emphasize is, you know, the wonder that is this community, self-sustaining for damn near 20 years. 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week.
I've only got 7 years going under my belt now, but, you know.
That's a lot of years.
Just like the Horn family, it's the Blue Dot family. It becomes a part of your life. It really does.
Absolutely.
The joys and the pains. And here lately, we've had a lot of pains in our Blue Dot family, so we've had to suffer through a lot. But just like any other family, we stand next to each other, we support each other, try to lift each other up and help when we can. Isn't that what we're all supposed to do?
Well, that's
anyway? I ain't no religious guy, you know that, but isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what the other side says we're supposed to do?
Yeah, and we do a hell of a lot better job of living it.
I think so.
Although it would not be the worst thing in the world if there was some shadowy liberal billionaire who decided we each needed to, you know, not have to worry about this shit for a little bit.
Yeah. No, nope. I got to start worrying again tomorrow, baby. It's every
You mean you get to quit once in a while?
No. I have other priorities that are more crisis driven than a bill. And you know what I'm talking about.
I do, indeed.
There are other things that take priorities, and you have to. I don't know, Robin, you have to take a smile when you can get one nowadays, baby.
Plaster one on your face and
try to pass it around to somebody else.
Yep.
That's the best thing you can do. Every day you're freaking on. Put a smile on your face for some reason. Make somebody wonder what the fuck you're up to.
That's been a big part of my life over the last couple of years. Just trying to be nice and try to not make somebody's day worse and maybe make somebody's day a little bit better.
It would be easy for me to go the other way.
Yeah.
Around where I live physically, it would be easy to go the other way.
Yeah, no. It is not a far stretch for you, John, to go all, you know, to go all Rooster Cogburn and say, well, fill your hands, you son of a bitch.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm not going to hit you. To hell, I'm not. Anyway, We keep on, Robin, and let's do that. Let's just keep right on going on because, hell, 24, it's right around the corner. You know, look at all the excitement we're going to have.
Ooh-wee!
Yeah. Like I said, put your working clothes on and pull your hat down.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a hell of a ride.
Yep. Haul them up around your shoulder blades, y'all.
Oh, shit. Yep. There you go. Well, darling, take care of yourself.
Thank you. I will, John. Y'all take care, each and every one of you. Last word goes out to Lady B, liners for the new station, Moron Radio, an independent station, WMRN. Now, we don't have chimes. We got a cowbell. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for a great broadcast week. Sorry about the screw-up on Tuesday. Sorry about Podbean, but everything's normal again, except, you know, to the extent that normal is anything other than a setting on a dryer. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors. Each and every one of you are why this program exists, and the only reason this program exists. We close out at $535. If we could just have a regular fundraising day on Monday, that would be awesome. If anybody wants to help out over the course of the weekend. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. I love hearing from you on Twitter, on Facebook. I mean, Twitter. Via various forms of social media. I really enjoy the ongoing interchange, the exchange of ideas. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve and Roger. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces, help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your mask when you're in big crowds or around, among the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, if a turtle-faced individual with a history of standing proudly in front of Confederate battle flags comes towards you, maybe wrapped in that Confederate battle flag, saying, well, there is no room in the Republican Party for white supremacy. Avoid that Addison like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.